We have a breaking news story this morning, and it is about an amnesty for troubles-related offences. It's not about an amnesty, it's about immunity. An amnesty for troubles-related offences has been one of the most contentious issues raised during the recent Haas talks. And John Larkin, the Attorney General, he didn't like the word amnesty, but many people interpreted what he was saying. In other words, a halt to all prosecutions on troubles-related violence. It was universally condemned last month by most people. But what about the issue of an immunity on limited circumstances? Let's just remind ourselves what the First Minister, Peter Robinson, had to say on this.
We've made it very clear that we don't believe that amnesty is the way forward, and we will oppose amnesty. I think we need to look at what he's saying by way of immunity. Is that immunity for all time over those actions, or is it a limited immunity such as we have, for instance, with the decommissioning legislation? So I think we'll look at whatever the proposition is and we'll judge it when we see the detail rather than taking it off newspaper reports.
So at that point, the DUP were just looking at some of what had been proposed by Richard Haass on a discussion point. It seems to have moved forward now to the next stage where Sammy Wilson has said his party wouldn't just look at it, they would be prepared to agree a deal that would involve limited immunity for past troubles-related offences, if that's what the victims or victims' families wanted. Let's just have a listen to exactly what he said about 20 minutes ago.
Well, I think that the circumstances in which Peter had been referring to was where a victim indicates that, look, I do not believe that I am going to find out anything about what happened to my loved one unless the person who comes forward who did it is granted some kind of immunity. And it would be where the victim says that I am prepared to accept that. I don't like the idea, I've got to say, Stephen, but the victim says, I am prepared to accept that just to find out why something happened to my loved one, what happened to them, and who did it. And only in those circumstances, and it really has to be the person who is affected who is prepared to allow that to happen. My view is that if people have done wrong, then they ought to be brought to justice. And even if it's very limited justice as a result of the Belfast Agreement, where they only get 2 years for the crime that was done, at least publicly it was known that they did the crime, they've confessed that they've been found guilty of it, and they've served a sentence, okay. And that's the position of the party. So, but there have been some victims who have, and I think that that's why Peter has come out with the statement he has.
And when you talk about, when you talk though, Sammy, just to be clear, you say that you don't like it, but are you prepared to support, is it the position of your party to support a scenario where if a victim wants to provide immunity in order to get the truth or the information that they want, is your party prepared to support a scenario that legislation would back that?
Well, I think that the whole point of the Haas talks is to try and give some closure to those who are still hurting. And if some of those who are hurting say that this is the only way that we believe we can get the information which will deal with the hurt which we have experienced, then I think it will be very difficult for anyone to say, well, we're going to deny you that. But what I would want to do, of course, is to, for people who ask for that, to spell out all of the implications which there are and follow from that. But at the end of the day, if that's what some of those, and not all of them, not all people will want that, and that's why we've been very specific about this particular issue. Not all of the people who have been affected will be prepared to sign up to that. So this should not be something which is a blanket arrangement, but only in those very specific circumstances would we, and I've got to say, at least in that, from my own part, reluctantly sign up to such an arrangement.
So if they're prepared to live with it, you would reluctantly live with it?
Yes, because I don't have to live with the hurt that they have experienced. And therefore, why would I, if there's a route which they're prepared to live with, to deal with the hurt that they've had, why would I stand in the way of that?
So that's the former finance minister, senior member of the DUP, saying that if victims could live with immunity for perpetrators, then he could too, and his party could. The security journalist, Brian Rowan, giving his reaction to this morning. What are your thoughts, Brian?
Well, I think we're now starting to have a mature conversation about all of this, Stephen. I think after the Attorney General's comments about ending conflict-era investigations, we had a political knee-jerk. But I think we're now having a more realistic, sensible, calm, cool conversation around all of this. And I think the big challenge is what will unlock the past? And this term, limited immunity, has become part of the complicated commentary around the Haas dialogue. I bumped into Alan McBride at the Stormont Hotel on Tuesday. That just happens to be where the Haas talks are situated at this time. This issue was out there in the public domain. I spoke to Alan. He said to me, first of all, you need some understanding of what is meant by limited immunity and how that differs from amnesty. And he continued, and these are Alan McBride's words, but whatever happens with regards to the past, it has to be victim-centred, and it would be up to the families how they go forward in the absence of truth and justice. And then I think he asked the big question, Stephen. He asked, does the truth have to be bought by limited immunity, amnesty, or whatever? And I've written a piece on the Eamon Malley website, and I answer that question saying the answer is yes. But then the next question, Stephen, has to be how much more truth or additional information would such an approach buy? And I think that's what's missing from the context at this stage. You know, non-prosecution cannot be a free gift. Its value has to be what it can buy in terms of answers, information, explanation, and what others will call truth. Now, we're not going to get the answer to that, Stephen, in the couple of weeks that are left within the Haas negotiations. But it could be part of the work that needs to be explored beyond whatever Haas and O'Sullivan come up with. What is on the other side of this coin?
And it seems, Brian, from what Sammy Wilson was saying to us this morning, that we would have that the DUP would sign up to a situation in which we would have two different scenarios actively running alongside each other.
Mm.
One where victims refuse to give immunity,
yes,
and there would be a need on the state to continue,
yes,
to seek justice on their behalf.
Yes.
And another scenario where the victim themselves could waive that right to justice,
yes,
provide immunity for their perpetrator, and in return, get information. And
yes,
those two would run along. So in effect, if you think about it, you could actually have one scenario, one incident with two, with let's say two perpetrators.
Mm-hmm.
One could literally, theoretically go to jail and the other could be provided with immunity.
And
it shows you how complicated this could be.
You could have within any one family, Stephen, a difference of opinion.
And
in
what
terms
happens
of what
there?
That's
a great
wanted.
Point. That's a brilliant point.
Yeah.
What happens there?
Of course. And that's why this thing needs to be, and I think Sammy Wilson made this point, we need to get down into the fine detail of it. But he was also saying that he would go along with it reluctantly. What he is saying is, I think the same thing that Alan McBride was saying, that it's up to the families and it's up to the victims what they want. If you go back to the Eames Bradley report, Stephen, and we're going back 4 or so years now, maybe a bit longer, I think within that report from memory, there were two options. There was to be an investigations unit, or there was to be the option of an information recovery unit. And if a family chose the information recovery unit, that's where their case would be dealt with. So I think this is all fine detail argument that is in no way nailed down at this stage, Stephen. But I go back to what I said to you at the very start of this conversation. Larkin was dismissed outright when he said what he had to say. And I think we're now getting a calmer, more mature conversation around this, because I think people understand that there is very little prospect of prosecution in very many cases that date back 10, 20 or 30 years. So the big challenge is what unlocks the information. And would some form of immunity or amnesty or non-prosecution, whatever you decide to call it, begin to produce those answers that people are looking for?
And although they have denied it, Brian, I have no doubt that the cynic may suggest that there was a certain amount of choreography around, now, and I emphasise they've denied it.
Yes.
But the Attorney General suddenly, into the public domain, throws this aspect of an amnesty.
Yes. Well, he didn't use that term, as you know, Stephen.
No, he did not.
But it was widely interpreted as such.
Okay. And after that, there is public uproar, the majority of opinions against it, and now there is something which is less than an amnesty in between.
Yes. And I think, and I've said to you, Stephen, in many, many interviews over the past number of years, that the biggest barrier to achieving information, what some others call truth, in terms of the past, is the continuing prospect of prosecution, conviction, court and jail. Now, I think what people need to understand is, if you do have some form of non-prosecution, what is it going to do by way of changing the scenario? Is it going to open up files? Is it going to open up the type of information that people are looking for? And we don't have the answers to those questions at this stage. If you were to go down the route of non-prosecution and we were to continue in the scenario of people saying, well, I wasn't in the IRA, or that collusion was down to a few rotten apples, then we're no further down the road. So I think whatever Haas recommends and proposes, Stephen, there is going to be that piece of unfinished business within it, which is that exploration of the other side of this, from the loyalists, from Republicans, from governments, from politicians, from many people who were part of this conflict. What would they be prepared to offer within that new scenario? And just one thought on the Haas process, Stephen, and I've been sitting watching it over the last number of days. I'm told that Haas is very close to putting some sort of draft document before the parties. That could happen within the next number of days, could be by the start of next week. And then we're really down to decision time in this process.
Okay, Brian, thank you very much indeed. We'll speak to Seamus Close in a second. The Reverend Leslie Carroll is a Presbyterian minister, was a member of the Eames-Bradley panel. Good morning to you, Leslie.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So we've got the Sammy Wilson now. This story moving on this morning. Sammy Wilson, senior DUP member, saying his party would support immunity in limited circumstances.
I think that's very interesting and a really important piece to the debate that we're having here. Certainly what Eames-Bradley was proposing was that there would be a limited immunity mechanism and that families could use that if they wished. So the victim's end of things has to be considered carefully in this. Not all of them will want that, but some of them will.
So you could say this is really revisiting what Eames-Bradley proposed.
In some senses it is, and that's not unexpected because the aspects to this debate remain the same no matter how we come to it. So this is not, in a sense, about Eames-Bradley. This is about revisiting the debate, which and the bits of it are all there, including this.
Are you still there, Leslie?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
What do you think will happen now? Because Brian Rowan, he introduced some important points for us to consider there in his last contribution, the what-ifs. So, for example, what if you had a situation in which one family member supported immunity and the other didn't? What happens?
Yeah, and that's very, very difficult to decide. And we were conscious when we were doing our work 5 years ago that that was going to be a challenge that we had to face. I think 5 years on from the Eames-Bradley report, everything is in much more sharp relief than it was then. People have become more articulate. People have become more informed. People are much clearer about what they want and what they don't want. and we quite simply have to navigate our way through this.
But when you were considering that hypothetical that I've just introduced, what did you determine should happen? One family member says we want immunity. The other said absolutely not. We want justice. What can happen? What should happen?
Yeah, we had understood there to be a commissioner who would be overseeing all of that, and that would be for the commissioner to negotiate with the families and work his or her way through. There was simply no other way to do it. You couldn't make a firm ruling on that.
Okay,
Leslie. You couldn't make a firm ruling.
Leslie, thank you. Former Alliance MLA, now political commentator, Seamus Close with us today. What's your take on this, Seamus?
Well, I find it very, very interesting, but it just extends the whole minefield that surrounds truth, justice, victims. And the whole question about truth, will we ever get the truth? And what is the truth? And Barney Rowan's point, how much do you pay, or does truth have to be bought? It in itself poses a question, because if you've got to buy anything, how do you know it's the truth? How do you know it's the whole truth and nothing but the truth? And therein lies the big, big question, will we ever get to it?
Now, so in other words, Seamus, if a perpetrator is to be provided with immunity, which is a massive thing for them to get, the security that they will never be caught, that they will never go to jail, that they will never be punished, if they are getting that reward, if you like, what do they have to do in return of it? In return, tell all of the truth, or tell 90% of it, or if they are found in 2 years' time to have lied about one bit of their testimony, does that mean that the immunity is rescinded? All of these questions.
Yeah, maybe I'm the ultimate cynic, but if people have been telling lies, and I'm not just referring to those referred to as terrorists, I'm referring to the state, I'm referring to the army, I'm referring to the police. If they have been telling lies and defending those lies over a period of 20, 30 years, am I expected, or is the victim expected, to believe that for a little bit of give and take that they're going to tell us the whole truth? Sorry, I don't accept that. But what I do believe, in what Sammy Wilson was referring to, is that whatever we come to, it's got to be victim-centred. They have got to be the focus. Their needs must be met. And you've already alluded to it.
That's a complication, what you've said, though, because different victims want different things.
That's what I was coming on to. Because different victims, they're all individual human beings. So how do we create a structure or a system that will give due cognizance to the wishes and the demands and the desires of each and every individual?
It does seem, though, Seamus, that something is moving in and around the Haas talks. Within 24 hours, there's the First Minister saying he would look at it. Then there's Sammy Wilson saying they would do it. And both of those people are so senior in Northern Ireland, they don't say anything by mistake.
I recall commenting at the time of the Attorney General's comments and posing the question, is this just by accident? Did he say this at that particular juncture? And remember, at that particular juncture, it was just being reported that he had granted another inquiry into an issue referring to the Glenan gang. Do all these things just happen by accident, or are they choreographed? And if they're choreographed, they're choreographed by whom? Politics doesn't work by accident. It works by design. And there is something somewhere are pulling these strings. I don't know what it is, but it's all happening to come together to try to bring some sort of paper before Christmas, which is Haas's promise. Now, will that paper be the solution? I don't believe so. Will it point in particular directions? It might do so. But the bottom line, in my view, is that it's got to, whatever it is, needs validation from the people of Northern Ireland, and centred to that has got to be the victims.
Seamus Close, thank you very much indeed. Alan McBride, morning to you, Alan.
Morning, Stephen.
You're the husband of Sharon McBride, who was killed by the Shankill road bomb in 1993. Let me just let you hear what the DUP's Sammy Wilson said this morning.
If some of those who are hurting say that this is the only way that we believe we can get the information which will deal with the hurt which we have experienced, then I think it will be very difficult for anyone to say, well, we're going to deny you that. But what I would want to do, of course, is to, for people who ask for that, spell out all of the implications which there are and follow from that. But at the end of the day, if that's what some of those, and not all of them, not all people will want that, and that's why we've been very specific about this particular issue. Not all of the people who have been affected will be prepared to sign up to that. So this should not be something which is a blanket arrangement, but only in those very specific circumstances would we, and I've got to say, at least in that, from my own part, reluctantly sign up to such an arrangement.
So if they're prepared to live with it, you would reluctantly live with it?
Yes, because I don't have to live with the hurt that they have experienced. And therefore, why would I, if there's a route which they're prepared to live with, to deal with the hurt that they've had, why would I stand in the way of that?
Alan McBride?
I think it's difficult, Stephen, because I mean, I think the question you have to ask them, even within families, is who in the family would make that decision, given that, you know, families aren't even together and some of this kind of stuff. Now, I do think that the whole notion of limited immunity or amnesty, call it what you will, has to be part of the conversation that we need to have. That's not to suggest for a moment, by the way, that we just put one in place, but I think we need to have some further thought around it. I mean, there is a de facto amnesty in place anyway regarding, you know, the fact that, you know, if someone has been caught for your loved one's murder, they can serve a maximum of 2 years in prison. I mean, that is an amnesty of sorts anyway. So I think it has to be part of perhaps a wider conversation. My own thinking around this, however, is that, you know, I think this was one of the failings of the Good Friday Agreement. We did not sort this out back in the day when we perhaps had the opportunity to do so. And I do agree with Barney Rowan, you know, about the truth in many instances has to be bought. And I suppose the question then becomes, well, what do you buy it with? And, you know, what can we trade for truth? And it seems to me that at the moment, you know, because we've got all the prisoners out of jail, the weapons issue has been dealt with, all of those kinds of things are sorted now. The amount of sort of bargaining chips that we have, I think, are greatly reduced. But one thing I will say to you in regards to going forward, and I know that victims speak with a divided tongue on many of these issues, and they're not together in all of these things, but one thing I think most of them would agree is that we cannot forget the past and just move on. We have to do something, and it's not going to be something, Stephen, that's going to suit all of them. I don't know of any process around the world that has actually hit all of the boxes for all of the people, but we have to do something which is better than what we have at the moment.
Alan, thank you very much indeed. We've 2 minutes left of the programme today. We're really, really tight for time. The Alliance Party's Naomi Long with us today. Your reaction to the DUP announcing this morning, Naomi, that they will support immunity in limited circumstances. They're not looking at it. They will support it.
Well, I think it's an important statement that has been made. I think we have to look at this in the round, because if we're going to deal with the past comprehensively, it can't be simply about limited immunity. It has to be much wider than that in terms of, for example, the service that we provide to those who have disabilities arising from the Troubles, who have mental health issues arising from the Troubles. So it's a much wider conversation that needs to be had, and the needs of victims and the desire of victims has to be at the centre of it.
What Sammy Wilson has said to, I'm rushing Naomi just because of time.
I understand.
Sammy Wilson has said that it would be very hard to stand in a victim's way who wants to provide immunity for a perpetrator in order to get information.
Well, I have already said that if there is going to be a process, and I have said on record that I believe that limited immunity may form part of that measures. But I have been very clear in saying that it would have to be an opt-in system and not a system that denies all victims the opportunity to pursue justice if that's their choice.
And I think
and it's
that's
very
also,
important that we do that.
And that's also precisely what the DUP is saying. The SDLP's Alex Atwood, your reaction this morning, Alex. We have 1 minute.
Two very quick points. The first is that if, and it's a big if at the moment, there was to be limited immunity, it would attract only to the information that person gave to a commission that was looking into the past, and that if other information arose that identified that person by other ways as being involved in a serious criminal activity, immunity would not protect that person in those circumstances. And the second thing is this, very, very quickly, we have the best opportunity in 15 years now emerging to deal comprehensively with the past, to put the needs of victims and survivors first and foremost in our minds and in our politics. We must not squander this opportunity, and no party and no government particularly the British government, should be allowed to squander this opportunity.
Okay. Alex Atwood, thank you very much indeed. We leave you this morning with the breaking news that the DUP has said they would agree a deal that would involve limited immunity for past troubles offences if that's what victims or victims' families wanted.